más, ¿no? Se ve más. Habría que comprar todo.
Ist es schwierig für mich, das zu ordnen. Hare Krishna, this is so Thomas Noel with his wife. His wife comes for the first time. Very welcome, Hare Krishna. Very nice. You need a chair? You need a chair? No. Okay. So please take a seat. If you come here, Prabhu, maybe give him a pillow. A cushion, pillow, somebody. Maharaj is going to speak to us. We have about an hour, Maharaj, for speaking. If you like, and the devotees like, you can expand as long as you want, but of course, then it becomes late, prasharam, arctic, and all that. No, I wanted to say something, yeah, but no, okay. That's it. Thank you very much for everything. Now, Maharaj, which language are you going to speak?
English? I guess English.
Chinese? No.
No.
Oh, no Chinese today. Okay.
I can speak Hindi if you want.
Okay, so.
But it will be very short.
So, wer spricht kein Englisch? Nochmal.
Cha-cha-cha-cha-cha.
Okay. Wer spricht kein Russisch? Yes. So we have to do English, Maharaj. It's okay?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, so bitte die Devotees, die kein Englisch verstehen, bitte hier sich hinsetzen und wir übersetzen. Ja?
Lucy,
du übersetzt? Die Englisch, nicht, nein, nicht alle. So bitte die Devotees, die Übersetzung brauchen, hier in dieser Ecke, die Lucy, hier wird übersetzt.
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskritya.
Narayanam Namaskritya.
Naram Cheva Narottamam.
Naram Cheva Narottamam.
Devim Sarasvati Vyasam.
Devim Sarasvati Vyasam.
Tato Jaya Mudiraye.
Tato Jaya Mudiraye.
Yam pravrajanta manopeta mapeta krityam dvaipayana virahakatara juhava putreti tan mayatayo taravo vinedus tam sarva bhuta hridayam munimanatosmi. Hare Krishna. I was asked by Dinasharana Maharaj to speak a little bit on Prabhupada and his mission and his connection with him. And for this topic, to introduce this topic, I will read the verse, 11th verse from the 5th chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada's instruction on Srimad Bhagavatam, which is very appropriate in this occasion. Tadvag visarga janataga viplavo yasmin pratislokam abadhavate api namanyanantasya yashon kitani yat shrinvanti gayanti grinanti sadavaha. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. On the other hand, that literature which is full of descriptions of transcendental glories of the name, fame, forms, pastimes, etc., of the unlimited Supreme Lord, is a different creation, full of transcendental words directed towards bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is a qualification of a great thinkers to pick up the best even from the worst. It is said that the intelligent man should pick up nectar from a stalk of poison, should accept gold even from a filthy place, should accept a good and qualified wife even from an obscure family, and should accept a good lesson even from a man or from a teacher who comes from untouchables. These are some of the ethical instructions for everyone in every place without exception. But a saint is far above the level of an ordinary man. He is always absorbed in glorifying the Supreme Lord, because by broadcasting the holy name and fame of the Supreme Lord, the polluted atmosphere of the world will change. And as a result of propagating the transcendental literatures like Srimad Bhagavatam, people will become sane in their transactions. While preparing this commentation on this particular stanza of Srimad Bhagavatam, we have a crisis before us. Our neighboring friend China has attacked the border of India with a militaristic spirit. We have practically no business in the political field, yet we see that previously there were both China and India, and they both lived peacefully for centuries without ill feelings. The reason is that they lived those days in an atmosphere of God consciousness, and every country over the surface of the world was God-fearing, pure-hearted, and simple. And there was no question of political diplomacy. There is no cause of quarrel between the two countries, China and India, over land which is not very suitable for habitation. And certainly there is no cause for fighting on this issue. But due to the age of quarrel, Kali, which we have discussed, there is always a chance of quarrel on slight provocation. This is due not to the issue in question, but to the polluted atmosphere of this age. Systematically, there is a propaganda by a section of people to stop glorification of the name and fame of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, there is a great need for disseminating the message of Srimad Bhagavatam all over the world. It is the duty of every responsible Indian to broadcast the transcendental message of Srimad Bhagavatam throughout the world, to do all the supermost good, as well as to bring about the desired peace in the world. Because India has failed in her duty by neglecting this responsible work, there is so much quarrel and trouble all over the world. We are confident that if the transcendental message of Srimad Bhagavatam is received only by a leading man of the world, certainly there will be a change of heart, and naturally the people in general will follow them. The mass of people in general are tools in the hands of modern politicians and leaders of the people. If there is a change of heart in the leaders only, certainly there will be a radical change in the atmosphere of the world. We know that our honest attempt to present this great literature conveying transcendental messages for receiving the God consciousness of the people in general and re-spiritualizing the world atmosphere is fraught with many difficulties. Our presenting this matter in adequate language, especially foreign language, will certainly fail. And there will be so many literary discrepancies despite our honest attempt to present it in the proper way. But we are sure that with all our faults in this connection, the seriousness of the subject matter will be taken into consideration, and the leaders of society will still accept this due to its being an honest attempt to glorify the Almighty God. When there is fire in the house, the inmates of the house go out to help from the neighbors who may be foreigners, and yet without knowing the language the victims of the fire express themselves, and the neighbors understand the need, even though not expressed in the same language. The same spirit of cooperation is needed to broadcast this transcendental message of Srimad Bhagavatam throughout the polluted atmosphere of the world. After all, it is a technical science of spiritual values, and thus we are concerned with the techniques, not with the language. If the techniques of this great literature are understood by the people of the world, there will be success. I stop here. Hare Krishna. Tadvag visarga janataga viplavo yasmin pratishlakam abadhavati api namanyanantasya yashon kitani yat srinvanti gayanti grinanti sadavaha. On the other hand, that literature which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, forms and pastimes, etc., of the unlimited Supreme Lord, is a different creation full of transcendental worlds directed toward bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literature, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. Yagyanam jana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya mano vishtam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa padamahyam dadati svapanantikam vanchakalpataru vyasya kripa sindhu devacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhara shivasadi gaura bhakta vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yantah pravishya mama vachim imam prasuktam sanjeevaya takila shakti darak svadam nanyam shahasta charana shravanat vagadim pranam namo bhagavate Purushaya tubhyam Haradi Bhagavan Vrajeshatanayastadhama Vrindavanam Ramyakachitupasana Vrajavadvargena Kalpitam Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumartamaham Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhur Matamidam Tatradharuna Param. Hare Krishna. I'm very much honored to be with all of you this evening. And I will try to speak a few words about this very important subject matters. This verse in particular is spoken by Sri Narada to Vyasadeva as a reaction on the dissatisfaction which Srila Vyasadeva felt. And this existential crisis, the general dissatisfaction in life, no matter how much we achieved in this life, is a very common phenomenon. And basically the instructions which are given by Sri Narada, even though they are specific on the issue of what Srila Vyasadeva is supposed to do, what he missed in his life, they're in one sense common to all of us. Because we all, to a certain extent, frustrated in life. This frustration is a very common phenomenon. No matter what we do, no matter how successful we are, quote unquote, in the material sense, there is still something is lacking. We still feel some emptiness within the heart. And this emptiness within the heart is indication that something is wrong, that we didn't do something which we are supposed to do. Every one of us has a mission in life, and basically, according to Vedic culture, the mission of human life is to get knowledge. This whole world is arranged by God, and sometimes people, they complain. They say that God, somehow or other, he got very imperfect plan, that he wished well, but it didn't work. You know, common phenomenon. You do something, didn't work. You know, so God created this world, and you know, he regretted about this, but it was too late. So some people think like this, and their reasoning is superficially correct. They think that if I'm not happy, then it must mean that Creator did something wrong. That's the psychology behind it. You know, they think that Creator has created this world for us to be happy. It's a natural psychology. I want to be happy, and somehow or other it doesn't work, so God must be faulty. But they don't understand that the very fact that everyone is not happy, despite all our endeavors to become happy, and everyone, 100%, 100%, even if we pretend that we are happy, deep inside we are not happy. So many troubles, and ultimately we have to die, and so many other problems are there. But, you know, people, they cannot understand that this is the design. This is not a mistake. That this is a conscious design by the Creator. And the fact is that everyone, 100%, is not happy. Because he didn't create this world for us to be happy. It sounds very sad. I mean, it's bad news, I know. I'm sorry to bring this bad news to you. But that's a fact. He didn't create this world for us to be happy. He created this world for us to learn something. And learning is a different purpose. He had a different purpose in mind. And unfortunately, for us to learn something, for us being dull-headed, we need to suffer a little bit to learn something. Without suffering, we cannot learn anything. We will become more and more stupid if there will be no suffering. Unfortunately. So, but what I want to say is that God, he didn't create the world imperfect as it seems to be. He created the perfect world for perfect purpose, to learn. And the feelings which we have and the experience which we have is actually the guiding force for us to learn. This dissatisfaction, sometimes people psychologically try to suppress the dissatisfaction. They try to, you know, pretend that everything is fine. You know, I'm living in Germany. Germany is such a nice country. I'm not living in Russia. You know, luckily, thanks God, I'm not living in Nicaragua or somewhere else in all these exotic countries. But still, the satisfaction is there. And in these verses, Shinarada gives a hint, gives a clue how we should understand or interpret this dissatisfaction within ourselves. And ultimately, we have to really be very clear about this, that this emptiness in heart, which we try to fill up by different material engagements, different material purposes, different material enjoyments which we have in life, this emptiness within the heart is a very deep problem, because this emptiness is because there is not God there. And the very attempt to fill this spiritual emptiness by something material is doomed to be fail. Is doomed to fail. It definitely will fail, because you cannot fill something which is spiritual by nature, the spiritual emptiness which is there in the heart, by material things, no matter how much you have. You know, even if you have the whole world, the heart will still be empty. And the empty heart will demand something, will actually give you this feeling that something is wrong, something is not correct. And here, in these verses, addressing to a specific issue, Shinarada at the same time gives a universal recipe, universal formula how to get rid of this dissatisfaction within the heart. And this formula is very simple. He says, my dear Vyasadev, you are not happy and you are not satisfied only because of one reason, because you didn't glorify the Supreme Lord. And it may sound very simplistic. It may sound, from the very first superficial point of view, it may sound as a even irrelevant, to the point of irrelevant. I'm coming to you, I'm saying I'm not happy, I'm not satisfied, tell me something what to do. And they say, just glorify the Supreme Lord. And you say, what the heck it has to do with my dissatisfaction? How does it solve my problem? Sometimes people do not understand the very deep philosophy behind it. But there is a very deep philosophy behind it, which Srila Prabhupada reveals in this purport. Basically, it's actually very interesting and very ironic even. The very first words of Shinarada, when he meets Vyasadev, he sees Vyasadev, and Vyasadev is sitting very depressed, very morose. He's sitting with a very gloomy look in his face, and Narada is coming, and Narada is smiling. Narada is very happy. He's playing veena, and he's just chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He's a happy Hare Krishna devotee. He doesn't have any problem, no job, no nothing. No worries, no troubles. So, and the you know, as it is a custom between the cultured people, when they greet each other, when they meet, you know, they ask, how are you? So Vyasadev, he offers his obeisances. He says, so my dear Guru Maharaj, my dear saint, please come here. And Narada, he looks at him. He says, my dear Vyasadev, are you happy by identifying yourself with the mind and the body? And, you know, there is an obvious answer to this. And this is the philosophy behind this. The philosophy behind this is actually very deep. And the philosophy behind this that all our troubles are coming not from the problems which we, by superficial analysis, can see. We think that the problem is that, you know, my neighbor is bad, or the government is bad, or the weather is bad, or the economy is bad, and there is a crisis, or there is something else. But the real deep analysis, if we really go deeply in our analysis and our understanding, is that all our problems are stemming from one root. And this root is very simple. Identification with the mind and the body. There is a very beautiful verse in Srimad Bhagavatam in 11th canto. Bayam dvitiye vinivesat aksyati shada petasya viparya yos pritih. In this verse it is said that because the soul turned away from God, God is behind us. That's why we don't see him. You know, sometimes people ask, please show me God. It's very simple. You just turn back and you will see God. We don't want to see him. We are looking in a different direction. And the sudden spiritual practice is our attempt to turn our consciousness towards God. Now our consciousness is away of God. So in this verse it is said, Bhayam dvitiya binivesha taksyat, because we are so absorbed in something which is secondary. Dvitiya is something which is temporary, is something which is superficial ultimately, which is not deeply in harmony with our inner self and our inner nature. Therefore, bhaya, the fear is there, the anxiety is there. You know, this is an existential anxiety because we are eternal by nature. But being eternal by nature, we know that we will have to die. How we can be happy? Only crazy people can be happy. And this is what Srimad Bhagavatam says, that in this world only two kinds of person are happy, completely crazy or completely saintly. Everything in between, everyone is in between is somewhat troubled and unhappy. So that's the problem. The problem is that being eternal, we are looking for eternal connection. We are looking for eternal things. We are looking for eternal love. If the happiness is not eternal, this is not happiness. This is the cause of distress. Let's say you're perfectly happy, but you know that tomorrow your happiness will end. Will you be happy or not? Let's say you are sentenced to death and you are going to execution place and you have 30 minutes to leave and somebody comes to you and says, my dear sir, do you want to enjoy? Will you want to enjoy or not? Will you get any juice from this enjoyment? No. No. But, you know, because of this forgetfulness, we think, yeah, everything is nice, you know. I will die, but not so soon. So it's not a problem. It is a problem. It is a problem. It will never be a problem. It will never be not a problem. Therefore, Bhagavatam says, Bhayam dvitiya binivesha taksyat. Everyone has this existential fear because of the absorption in the wrong thing. We are absorbed in the wrong thing. And this absorption in the body and absorption in the mind is a universal disease. Everyone is sick with this. Patanjali Muni, the author of Yoga Sutra, he says that this abhinivesha basically means absorption in the body. Abhinivesha is the common problem. Even the saints are not exempt of it. Even saints have fear of death. And there is only one medicine for this. There is a beautiful verse from Mukundamala Stotra. Mukundamala Stotra? It's the verse by King Kulashekhar. Mukundamala Stotra, yes. think this verse says, very beautiful verse. Idam shariram satasangi jarjaram patatyavasyam parinama peshalam kimoshadi prichasi muda durmate niramayam krishna rasayanam piba. It's a very beautiful verse. It is said that idam shariram, this body, idam shariram, this body which you have, satasangi jarjaram, there are so many sandhis there. Sandhi means joints. It basically means that this body is made of parts. And there is a very important Nyaya principle, the principle of logic. It is said in Nyaya that whatever is made of parts is not eternal. Because it is made of parts, sooner or later it will be decomposed. Nyaya says that there is only the eternal things, only either completely minute atoms which cannot be composed on parts, which are not composed of parts, or unlimited things. This is eternal things. Everything in between which is made of parts, satasangya, and there are so many parts. And we know every now and then there is a spare parts which we'll have to put inside, you know. This part, the liver doesn't work, so let's take this liver and take some other liver and put some other liver, lungs, heart, whatever it is, eyes, you know. Soon, you know, I heard that there is a new operation coming very soon. They are planning to transplant the head of a man, you know. They're cutting the head and putting it in another body. Very nice. But it's all temporary arrangement, you know. Even though your old head may have a very new body, but sooner or later it will be separated from the body, no matter how strongly it will be stitched to the body. So this is what King Kulashekar says, idam shariram satasangi jarjaram patatyavasyam parinama peshalam. It is for sure, 100%, 108%, or even more. It will patat. Patat means it will fall. Patatyavasyam, avasyam, for sure, 100%. Parinama peshalam, because it's a subject of change. It will for sure change. It will turn into something very unpleasant. You know, nobody will want to have anything to do with it. Sooner or later, unfortunately. And therefore, Kimoshadi Prichasi Muda Durmate, he is asking, you know, oh my dear fool, Muda Durmate. He says, not fool, he says, very stupid fool. You know, he doesn't say just Muda, he says, Muda Durmate, very completely confused fool. Kimoshadi, what kind of medicine you're looking for? We're always looking for some medicine. We are hoping that the science will invent certain medicine which will definitely save us from death. You know, sooner or later. Unfortunately, we will not survive till that time, but, you know, the hope is there. But he says, what kind of medicine you are looking for? Niramayam Krishna Rasayanam Piba. If you want to be happy, please drink this Niramay Rasayan. Amay in Sanskrit, in Ayurveda, those of you who know Ayurveda, Amaya means disease. Disease is caused by Ama. Ama means undigested food. So the disease in Ayurveda is called Amaya. Niramaya means completely healthy condition. Niramaya. Krishna Rasayanam Piba, Niramayam Krishna Rasayanam Piba, please chant this tonic of eternal holy name of Krishna, Piba. Please drink this tonic. This tonic is available for you. You're looking for some medicine. Here is the medicine. This is the medicine. And this is the only solution for all the problems. And that's exactly what Narada Muni is suggesting here. He says here that Ultimately, your problem, because you're identifying with the body and the soul. Oh, sorry, not the soul. With the body and the mind. And because of this connection, because of this identification with temporary, changeable, cleavable body and the mind, you have problems. As soon as we're established in the self, as soon as we have firm grounds of the eternal nature, which is available to us, we become immediately happy. No worries, no fears. A little fear that it will not last long, but it's not based. But ultimately, what I want to say is that here, Narada Muni, he gives the solution, and Srila Prabhupada, he generalized this solution. He says that this is the solution not only for any individual problem, that this is the solution for the whole society. And he says the problem, even though superficially there may be so many other problems, again, superficially the diagnosis may be something different, but in reality the problem is that there is a constant propaganda to make sure that everyone is more and more and more grossly engrossed in this body and the mind. You know, what is being done, and I will say a few words about the difference between the modern culture and the Vedic culture. What is the difference in approach? The modern culture is basically confusing the man. Srila Prabhupada says there is a systematic propaganda, and there is definitely very systematic propaganda, because the whole economy, the whole basis of economy this world is that you should consume. You should consume more and more and more and more, otherwise economy will not work. Let's say you become very austere and, you know, you will not consume more than you need. Everything will collapse in no time. You know, you should, by all means, you should consume more and more and more. And for that, you know, who is consuming more? It's a psychological fact. It's a very obvious and very open psychological fact that happy people, they don't consume much because they're happy. Satisfied people, why should they consume? You know, if you are unsatisfied, if you are not happy, then you will consume more. You know, people, like for example, it's a known fact that why people become obese. Why people become, you know, overeat and, you know, because they're not happy. They're trying to compensate with this unhappiness in the mind by taking more and more food, especially the sweet food. You know, it's the number one cause of obesity, of the overweight, basically, because people are not happy. So, and there is a very, you know, systematic design in this world to make people unhappy. Because when you're unhappy, economy is healthy. And when you're happy, economy will collapse. So, it's very counterproductive for the economy to produce happy people. Vedic civilization, the very gist, the very design, the very direction of Vedic civilization is to produce happy people, satisfied people. Satisfaction is the very basic virtue of Vedic civilization. There is a very systematic kind of propaganda, again, be satisfied with what you have. Don't covet for more. There is no need. You will never be able to satisfy all your needs. No way. You will never be able, because the needs will grow more and more and more, you know. You will not be able to satisfy this. Actually, there is a very beautiful, there is, I think in Australia or in Africa, somewhere, there is a bird. And this bird is always angry. It's a big bird, and it's really, really very angry. And there is a very deep reason, very deep physiological reason why this bird is angry. This bird has a big belly, very big, and very thin and long throat. So no matter how much the bird will eat, you know, it will never fill the belly. And therefore, the bird is always very, very disturbed. You know, it's trying to fill the belly, but no way, too thin. So the same, exactly the same design is in a human being. The human being has a very big mind, with unlimited desires in the mind, and very thin channels through which the mind can be satisfied, that is our senses. You know, how much you can consume. You can eat the whole supermarket, but you can only eat that much. Your mental appetite is huge. Your capacity of consuming is very small. You know, and people are trying and trying and trying and trying, but the mind is always empty. Never satisfied, never really satisfied. And that's the problem. And, you know, therefore in Vedic civilization, it is a very systematic teaching that you should be satisfied whatever you have. You should not try for more. Whatever is given to you by God, it's fine. This is what you need. You don't need more. Try to find your satisfaction or your purpose in life in something else, because this is what is available. The human form of life is a very rare opportunity to get the spiritual satisfaction. It's a very rare opportunity to really get the completely different kind of experience, not the material experience. Don't try to exercise these material things too much, because it will never bring you real satisfaction. And this spiritual satisfaction is only coming from what Narada says, if you glorify the Lord. It's amazing, but that works. Why? There is a hint in this verse. There is a very beautiful and very philosophical and deep indication in this verse why this only will work. The Lord is called here Ananta. Ananta means unlimited. So when we glorify the Supreme Lord, when we chant His holy name, when we think about Him, when we recite about Him, when we think and, you know, remember and hear about Him, then the subtle connection is being established between our limited self and unlimited Lord. And this connection is the most important, because we want to be unlimited, and the only way for us to become unlimited is to connect with the unlimited. The spirit by nature is Brahman. The spirit is called in Sanskrit Brahman, and Brahman means unlimited. Brahman means big. The spirit wants to expand. We want to expand. You know, no matter what we have, we always want to expand. People expand in a very natural way by producing many children. Nowadays, of course, they don't produce many children, because children is a very expensive toys, you know, to to play with. But, you know, then the people try to be unlimited by unlimited bank balance, unlimited this and that. You know, there was one very rich, he was number one sometime in the 40s or something, in America, very rich person, businessman. And few days before his death, a journalist came to ask him a question. And the journalist asked, you know, what is your slogan in life? And he's the richest man in the world. And he said, yes, I have one slogan. It's very simple, more. This is my slogan, more. I want more. I want more. So why? There is a deep psychological reason, because the spirit, the soul, is unlimited. We want to expand unlimitedly, but we don't know how to expand unlimitedly. And the real way to fulfill this innermost desire of the soul is to connect with unlimited. And this connection with unlimited is gained through this chanting of the holy name and through hearing about the Lord and through glorifying the Lord. And as Prabhupada says here, and this will completely balance the whole atmosphere, the whole polluted atmosphere. So many times he repeated this phrase in this purport, the polluted atmosphere of the world. It will, first of all, purify the polluted atmosphere of our heart. You know, people, they are trying to solve the problem with pollution. Superficially, when you travel through Germany, it seems to be very clean, and, you know, there is a green party in the parliament making sure that everything is fine, and, you know, but it's superficial, you know, still so much pollution is going on. And you cannot stop this pollution unless the source of all pollution is being changed. What is the source of all pollution? The pollution is in the heart. So when you chant the holy name of the Lord or glorify the Lord, the atmosphere in the heart is changed. The pollution within the heart is changed. You cannot solve the problem, the outside world problem, unless you solve inside your inner problems in the heart. And this is being solved. And Srila Prabhupada says this verse is promising to us that not only our individual problems will be solved, the problems of the whole world will be solved. Because by this means of distributing Srimad Bhagavatam or distributing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, ultimately people, as Prabhupada very beautifully says in the purport, as a result of propagating the transcendental literature like Srimad Bhagavatam, people will become sane in their transactions. It's a very beautiful statement. People will become sane. Now people are insane. I'm sorry to say this. You know, I'm coming from Russia. Please, if everyone is sane in Germany, you know, just explain it, because I'm coming from a totally insane place. So. But it's a fact. That ultimately, it's a fact that transactions between the people are insane. People are exploiting each other. Instead of serving each other, loving each other, it's coming to a very sick condition. People are exploiting children. You know, so much this sexual abuse is going on. So, you know, world is becoming more and more sick. It is said, it's a statistical fact that in India there is around 12% of people who are somewhat mentally unstable. In Europe, it's 25% who need some mental help. And in America, it's 52%. So it's basically doubles. When you go from India, it doubles to Europe, and it doubles in America. You know, the more people are going away from their original nature, original purpose in life, basically natural way of life, which is live in peace and harmony with God. And, always feel dependent on God, the more insane they become. And this insanity transpires in their transactions. It's really going on in a very, you know, in a different levels in so many ways, you know. Sometimes, like in America, I heard that, there is a traffic jam, and, you know, people become so angry. They sit in this traffic jam for 4 hours. Ultimately, somebody, you know, gets out from his car and starts shooting everyone. Because insanity is building up. It's building up. The more we're going away from our nature, from our original roots, from our original connection. And the original connection, original roots which we have is our dependence on God. People, you know, they basically some 200-300 years back, the modern civilization started when people started this enlightenment, this era of enlightenment, when they put human being in the center. And it promised a lot. Finally, we will build an ideal society where everyone will be happy, and all these philosophies which, you know, which were created after this, they have from this idea, human being is in the center. But that's artificial, because human being is not the center of the world. No matter how much you try, it's artificial. Human being is not the center of the world. The satisfaction of a human being is not the ultimate ultimate criteria for everything in this world. Of course, spiritual satisfaction is, but ultimately the, you know, the whole premise is false. And therefore, everything is becoming more and more artificial, and people are trying to solve this. And Prabhupada, he is basically writing this purport by his blood. Somebody said that this particular verse is a prediction of his arrival to the West. Because especially his first books in printed in English language, I mean, you know, I read these books. There is nothing but mistakes in these books. So many mistakes, grammatical mistakes, printing mistakes, these mistakes. It's a very funny Indian kind of printing, you know, done in the 50s of last century. And he says, I know that there will be mistakes. For sure, 100% there will be mistakes. I'm trying to convey this message in a foreign language for me. But he says that those people who are honest, they will accept it. Even though there will be mistakes. I know there will be mistakes. You know, once Hayagriva was an English professor, one of first disciples of Srila Prabhupada. He asked Srila Prabhupada. He became a little bold. And at one point he said, Srila Prabhupada, how do you understand this this philosophical point that spiritual master is perfect if everything which I do, he was Prabhupada's editor, you know, the whole day I'm correcting your mistakes. So how can I understand that a spiritual master is perfect? And Prabhupada smiled. He was not puzzled by this dilemma, by this obvious contradiction. And he said, you know, it's apparent mistakes, but these mistakes are not real mistakes because there is no mistake in the intention. It is said about God, Bhava Grahi Janardana, that Janardana is taking bhava. He is taking the intention. He is not taking the result. God is not seeing the faults in your actions. God is judging you according to your intent, your intentions. And if your intentions are pure, he accepts these pure intentions. He doesn't accept anything else. And Prabhupada said that ultimately God accepts my mistakes. And therefore, they're not mistakes. There are so many stories in Indian history that, you know, saints sometimes would make mistakes, and God would himself confirm, this is not mistake, from now on, this is the standard reading. You know, I will not get into these stories, but there are interesting stories when God himself confirmed that I'm not concerned with the nitty-gritty details. Literary style, no. Prabhupada says, if the attempt is honest, then the honest people will accept it. Sadhavaha. It is said here, sadhavaha. If somebody is honest in his approach, he will understand the urgency of this message. And he will really, you know, relate to the urgency of this message and will take it deeply in the heart. So this is basically the meaning and the glory of Prabhupada, because Prabhupada came with this completely, you know, completely, he definitely didn't want to gain anything from his coming to the West. know, so many other swamis would go. And, you know, consciously, unconsciously, I'm not saying that this, I'm sure there are some exceptions from this rule, but, you know, sometimes, you know, they go from India because there's more money in the West. It's a business. it's a business. Srila Radhanath Maharaj told me the story, very interesting story. I will reveal this secret to you. He said that just before passing away of Iyengar, the great yoga teacher, they were quite close, and Radhanath Maharaj came to visit Iyengar, BKS Iyengar in Pune. And they had a conversation, and Iyengar, being yoga teacher, very popular, you know, basically, you know, pop figure in this esoteric scene, he knows everyone else. He knows all these preachers who are going to the West, who made the name, and he said, and Radhanath Maharaj said, he, you know, Osho and all this. And he said, Iyengar, because he knows it from inside, he said, you know, he told me so many stories. And he said, the only exception which he made is for Prabhupada. He said, out of all of them, only Prabhupada is genuine. You know, the old man is coming, you know, we're not saying this to put down somebody, anybody. No. This is not the intention. The intention is to appreciate again the purity of Prabhupada's intention. You know, an old man is going to the West with 40 rupees in his pocket to America. I'll ask you, will you go to America with 40 euros in your pocket? No way. Without having any contact in America. Nobody. 40 rupees. Rupees which are not even convertible. So it's not even 40 euros. It's 40 rupees. Totally useless. Completely useless. $7 according to the that time rate. But not even convertible. No money. Zero money. But what he takes with him? 3 trunks of books printed in India, full of mistakes. And on the top of this, complete conviction that this is what is necessary. Complete, totally, totally pure conviction that this is what will save the world. Nothing else. And the most amazing part of the whole thing, the most amazing part of the whole thing, Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maya Ki Jai. The most amazing part of the whole thing is that it worked. Despite this 40 rupees, despite all these printing mistakes, some honest people did take this message seriously, and some honest people dedicated their lives to this message, to distribute this message. Why? Because they got an experience. And this is perhaps the last thing which I will say, because it's already 1 hour since I started talking. The last thing which I want to say is that ultimately we are living in a postmodern world, in postmodern era, and people of this world, they are not really after dogma. They really want real living experience and change in the heart. And Krishna consciousness is a very suitable practice, and Krishna himself says this in a very beautiful way in Bhagavad Gita. He says, Pratyakshava gamam dharmyam susukam kartumavyayam. He says that this dharma which I am teaching you, this teaching which I am giving to you now, it's pratyakshava gamam. It should be understood. Avagamam means understood. It should be understood by your own experience, pratyaksha. It should not be taken just because, you know, we believe in it, or just because of tradition. It should bring about the real experience in your life and a change in your life. And as I said, this method or this methodology, or as Srila Prabhupada says, this technique, Srila Prabhupada, he strongly stresses this point, that this is not just a faith. This is not just another religion. This is a science. And Prabhupada specifically says this is a technical science of spiritual values. Technical science means exact science, means universal, means it's true in India, but not only in India. It's true in America, it's true in Germany, it's true in Russia, it's true everywhere. It will work. Even if you go to the North Pole, chanting will help. I don't know how, but definitely help. You know, Prabhupada says it's a technical science. Technical science means it's true. It's not just a belief system. It's something which will work. And this is exactly what we need. I have a scientific background. I happened to read Bhagavad Gita when I was doing my PhD degree in Moscow, in one of academic institutions on molecular biology. And what struck me from reading Bhagavad Gita is that it's completely, totally rational point of view. It's a very rational system. There is no room for some, you know, sometimes when we speak about spirituality, it has to be, you know, people have this understanding, it has to be vague. You know, spirituality means, you know, God is something, and therefore he is nothing, and, you know, therefore, you know, you're also nothing, and do something. Something like this. You know, sometimes if you hear some preaching, it's you know, when it comes to this matters, it's very vague. It's very, you know, very, just feel it. Do you feel? No. Prabhupada is totally down to earth. He says a very practical thing, and he says, just do it and you will see the change. Not only in yourself, you will see the change around you. You will see the change in atmosphere, in the climate. Like you come to this temple, when you come to this temple, you feel that there is different vibration here. And vibration is a very, you know, it's a very popular world in the esoteric world, you know. I remember there is one esoteric person came to our temple and he said, oh, I feel very beautiful vibrations. I said, yeah. Very, very beautiful vibration. But it's a fact. The atmosphere becomes clean, not so polluted. It becomes more, you know, you feel lighter, you feel happier, you feel relieved from all your troubles and worries. And that's how Srila Prabhupada ends. That's what we read at the end, that this is why it is so urgent, because it's a universal science. And because everyone needs it. This universal science will work because it's very scientific. It's basically what is the root cause of the problems. The root cause of the problems, we turned away from God. What is the solution? We turn back to God. How to do this? Very simple. Remember about Him. How to remember about Him? Very simple. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. How to do it properly? Read Bhagavatam, because Bhagavatam explains who is Krishna and who is Rama and who is Hari and everything else which is there. Simple. And live simple life and, you know, feel the spiritual satisfaction which will naturally come because you're connected with Ananta, with this unlimited Lord, by chanting His glories. And this is a technical science. And this is very simple, and it will work And this is what I came to say to you. And perhaps the last thing. Can I say something last at the end? It's very interesting because sometimes, especially those people who are old-timers and who are coming to Hare Krishna temple for a long time, and they already know by heart all the, you know, preaching techniques of all the preachers, and they know all the jokes and everything else. And they sometimes start questioning. You know, sometimes there is a quest or there is a demand. Tell us something practical. Can you tell us something practical? There is a, you know, if you go to, for example, psychology training, they will give you some technique. And when Prabhupada says technique, sometimes people, they expect that, you know, they will learn some trick here, some techniques. And techniques are there, definitely, simple techniques, chanting of the holy name. But sometimes that there is a not understanding that this is a very powerful technique just to speak about the Lord and to hear about the Lord. And there is a beautiful answer to this. Please listen. I'm sure you will appreciate this answer. Because this sort of complaint is not new one. You know, in India there are so many very technical schools like yoga. Yoga is very technical. You can learn this technical science of yoga for a long time, and it seems to be very practical. You learn this breathing technique, that breathing technique, this meditation technique, and it all seems to be very, you know, very exciting and promising so many good things. And you come to Vedanta, and Vedanta, what is Vedanta? What is the practice of Vedanta? Just speak about Krishna. Just speak about God. And sometimes people, they question, is it practical just to speak about this? And Baladev Vidyabhushan, one of our acharyas and great philosophers, he gives a beautiful answer to this complaint. He says, my dear sir, let's say you are a husband of a wife and your wife is pregnant. And somebody comes to you and in a very beautiful and exciting way tells you, your wife gave birth to a healthy baby boy. Is it a useful information for you or not? Of course it's useful. Does it contain any technique which will bring about change in your life? No. But it's a very useful information. If somebody comes, if you are in the darkness, and you come in a dark place, and you see a big rope, and you become very fearful because you think it's a snake, and somebody comes to you and says, my dear sir, this was not a snake, this was a rope. Is it useful information? Is it a good information? Will it give you some practical use? It will. In the same way, when you come to Hare Krishna temple, somebody tells you, there is a good news for you, God is there. And it's a very practical information because it may relieve you from fear. Don't fear. Don't fear death. Death is not death. Not death. Not death. You're eternal, and I'm too, by the way. And and God is there. God is knowable. God is conceivable. You can conceive God. You can understand God. The whole Srimad Bhagavatam is about how to meet with God. The whole Srimad Bhagavatam is about different meetings with God, how different people met with God. You can meet with God, no doubt about it. And there is a way to do it. Just chant His glories. And if you do it purely, you will meet with God in this life. Your life will change. The life of the whole world will change. And you know, everything will be okay. And this is the message of Prabhupada. And this is the urgency of his message. This is the, you know, that's what he says. This is the ultimate solution for all our problems. turning our consciousness back to its original state, which is pure state in connection with unlimited God. Thank you very much. Thank you for being so tactful and asking this question in German. So if they would say no, I would not understand.
I have one question. Yes. We are lucky to have you here in this evening. I have a different, little bit different question.
Yes, please.
Would you please kindly describe, just in short, your struggle for Krishna consciousness?
It's a boring story.
just in short.
There's nothing else. The KGB became very curious about Krishna consciousness, and they wanted to know more. And they started asking me. Ultimately, usually I tell one short story, is that I was a postgraduate student, as I said, and KGB came to me, to my institution, and started asking some questions. They asked me if I want to work for them and report about Hare Krishna devotees. And I said no. And they were very unhappy by my answer. and they really, tried hard. And I realized that, and I knew at that time there was maybe a few dozens of devotees in the whole of Soviet Union. And it was a very strange kind of scene. People from different backgrounds, not very deeply philosophical. And to be honest with you, in the beginning of my encounter with Hare Krishna movement, I was not so serious. I was just checking and trying to understand what it is. And I was somewhat under-impressed by... I liked the books, and I felt some deep truth in the books, but I was a little under-impressed by the people, but when the KGB came to me and started asking these questions, and I realized one thing. I realized that they take this Krishna consciousness movement very seriously. And I thought, if they take, they must know better. If they take Hare Krishna movement seriously, must be a good reason behind it. And maybe I should also take it more seriously. So since that time, I became more serious, and I'm very grateful to KGB for making me more serious about it. Basically, it's not a very exciting story. So many people are suffered and tortured. I was a little lucky because I was a little more careful by nature. I did some little bit, but they definitely taught me how to be more serious about Krishna consciousness.
Thank you.
Any other question?
Tendency to accumulate. accumulate the tendency to lord it over, and that tendency to, it becomes even more. Like it increases many fold.
Shall I repeat the question? Shall I repeat the question?
Yeah.
It says that in the beginning we are very enthusiastic when we come to Krishna consciousness and we feel change in our life. But then after some time the old habits come and even more stronger, and sometimes we feel that we want even more than we wanted before. What is the reason for this dynamic? It's a very deep question, and it requires a long answer, but ultimately why do we feel so much change in the beginning and so much upsurge of enthusiasm in the beginning? Because we are very absorbed in Krishna consciousness. It's a very natural psychology. When something is new to us, we are very, you know, careful and absorbed. Like for example, the very new driver is very careful. He's very, you know, concentrated, and, you know. And this concentration brings its result. The result of concentration is the deeper experience, because the deeper the concentration is, the experience is also deeper. And everything is new, the new, you know, new tastes and new association, new experiences, new philosophy, new world outlook. Everything is new and fresh. And unfortunately, in this life, there is a law of fading the interest. The interest fades. Absorption becomes less. We start taking it for granted. We start taking it. Why? Because of one reason, and I will tell a little later why this reason, what is the main mistake which we do. But we know, we are already, we've seen it, and we heard it, and we tasted it, and there's nothing new, and we feel, why don't I go somewhere else and look for something new? This is the law of fading interest, and this law only works because our involvement becomes more superficial. And therefore, it doesn't bring so much response to us and doesn't bring so much satisfaction to us. And when we become superficial and neglectful in our practice, in our association, in our dealings with people, it comes to the level of offense, and offense even, makes our experience even more shallow. We don't get so much response from God because we are somewhat neglectful, offensive, negligent, and therefore experience becomes also less. And the recipe from this, and because we don't get the spiritual satisfaction, the material greed grows proportionately. We still have some hope that maybe, you know, it didn't work so many years, I wasted, maybe I should make up for all these years. Even though we know that this is all empty, still we try, we make some desperate attempts and it didn't work, and you know, we come again, but it's more difficult. But the recipe, the medicine against this is to become more and more deeply absorbed by learning the philosophy. And it's such a beautiful philosophy. It's practically bottomless. You know, you cannot say that you know it, no matter how much you study it. And this absorption, if you find, you know, and sometimes, of course, there are some other ways to be absorbed in kirtan. Like, for example, there is a beautiful kirtani like Madhava, you know. He's a very simple man, but he's so absorbed in this kirtan, and he gets so much fresh experience in this. So instead of becoming more superficial, we should try to become more concentrated, and this concentration will bring inner satisfaction and will also bring, so many other things. You know, the interest will not fade. It's actually very interesting what is there in Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada, he has a very beautiful teaching technique. He repeats certain things, and while reading superficially, we think, oh, I heard it already, I know I'm not this body, I know this, what is new about it, they are God, yeah, he's Krishna, yeah, I know. But, it's only on a superficial level you get this kind of repetition of the same thing. Ultimately, it's very interesting. You can go deeper and deeper and deeper and understand deeper and deeper and deeper and be more and more absorbed and be more and more enthusiastic. So it's a question of attitude. If you really believe that this is something which will bring you bring the solution to all your problems, you will find the solution. Some little face should be there. Any other question? Not, we can finish.
Maharaj, if you don't mind, I wanted, at the beginning, you were to say that Krishna did not make a mistake.
I said,
so he
didn't
must
mean.
Have done a mistake, because never mind what we try. So, one good example that the devotees who live here have heard from here a few times, it's just like nowadays when you buy a computer or a machine, the company who makes this computer, he will inbuilt
lifespan.
Yeah, a lifespan, so that after some time it will break down and you will force to take another one. So the same way Krishna, when he wrote his program for this world, he built in the fact that we just, as Maharaj said, we just cannot be happy in this world. Because if it was so, we will never want to go back to Godhead, because we're fine here. So therefore Krishna built in this lifespan, like Mala said, so to make sure that again and again and again we are going to feel bad about it. And then we are going to aspire for something more, because the soul wants something wonderful. And then we will look for Krishna. Thank you, Mala.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Now, can someone help clear everything so Maharaj can go up? Maharaj, would you like to lead us in the Arctic?
No, I'm not.
But you
somebody else.
You would stay here.
Yeah.